Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Expressway with BT Express, Billy Taylor, and Charles Show Me The Way. We're on every single week talking about NFL football on the NFL8podcast.com.
And here we go. Let's go and let's get it. Welcome to The Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Way, here with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we have a jam-packed show for you today. Obviously, we're going to start off with our G-men. Talk about what's up in Giant family. And then let's see what's going on with the J-E-T-S, Jets, and their quarterback situation. That's been the talk of the town outside of whether the Giants will re-sign Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. Also, I love our new segment that we just added last week. And thanks to Billy Taylor, we added the word of the day and how it relates to our lives in the world of sports, as well as you personally. And then finally, we're just going to talk about the world of sports. You know, LeBron James just kind of came down with a serious foot injury that may derail any hopes that the Lakers may make the playoffs this year. Now, let's see if Anthony Davis can be the all-star, superstar, whoever you want to call him. Can he carry that team to the playoffs this year? But we got a jam-packed show. But first, Joe Shane just came out yesterday, Billy, and said that he is hopeful that he can sign Saquon and Daniel Jones to long-term contracts. What do you think about that?
Well, I saw his press conference the other day, and I really like Shane, the Giants general manager. I really like the way he speaks. I think he's logical. But he said that he had been negotiating with Saquon Barkley since November. And I guess if you think about it, I would not let him go. I mean, we talked about last week, maybe might be making too much money, but, you know, and they also talked about, and just all over New York, they're talking about, is Danny Jones worth, $45 million like he wants? But, and then you saw that the general manager said, if we give him the league minimum or put him in that tag, he gets $32 million, and that's going to hurt the Giants' salary cap. So that means they're talking about getting lower than $32 million. So, you know, I think a good contract for him going into his fifth year, maybe 20-something million, $25 million. I know that Lamar Jackson of Baltimore, his contract was $23 million in the fifth year of his contract. So I just think the Giants know what they're doing. And I think if they can get both players done before training camp, that's going to help them tremendously because they got a lot of needs.
Yeah. I think what's going to hurt is that, you know, he fired his agent recently.
Yeah.
And so
Danny Jones. Yep.
Yeah. And his new agent wants to make a big splash. You know, this deal is going to help propel him with other NFL clients potentially. And so I'm kind of nervous about this because I think he's going to be at least $35 million, if not more. He's got to hover in the 35 to 40 to make it work. I think he wants a little bit more. I think his agent is trying to make a name for himself. So this is going to be a dicey situation. As far as Saquon goes, he says he wants to stay. He says he wants to be a Giant for the rest of his career. I mean, 12 to $13 million is really good. Is that, if that's the numbers they're throwing around, that's a pretty good number. And just make it incentive laden to get to your $15, $16 million that you want. So if you stay healthy, hey, you're gonna get paid. If you don't, it protects everybody. What do you think?
Yeah, see, the thing for me though is that, you know, you got to give Barkley and really you got to pay him for past performance because he got 1,300 yards last year, almost 500 or 600 catching the ball. I think he tied for the team lead in receptions. But see, the thing about it, he's a big part of the offense. And if he wasn't there, I don't think Danny Jones would have had the success he had because Barkley had to kind of tone things up by running up the middle and then opening things up. So when Danny Jones goes around the corner or does a sprint right or sprint left, that he can make some progress. So I just think that maybe Danny Jones's head is getting too big too soon, because maybe people are patting him on the back about what he did last season. Now, he had a good season. He didn't have a great season, but he had a good season, and the team played well. So that's a situation where I don't see how he can come up and say, well, I'm the man and I deserve $40-something million, because that's going to take away from the salary cap tremendously.
Yeah, it will. And when you start comparing, though, he has a good case. What did Kyler Murray do to get the contract that he has, right? And so
you got the guy in Cleveland.
I know.
Deshaun Watson.
That's right. And then, but I think Deshaun has more of an impact. He's shown that he can be an impact player for his team. Daniel Jones was on the biggest stage of his career up to this point, and he didn't do anything. And he didn't have a great game. And so when you look at all of those factors in place, I don't see him as a $40 million quarterback. And I don't know if any other team would, because you got to think about it. Even though the salary cap, as we talked about in the last few weeks, salary cap went up. What team in their right mind would give him $40 million? Even if you are the Houston Texans, why would you give Daniel Jones, who hasn't proven anything and that can put you in cap purgatory, if you paid him that much money, he didn't perform? I mean, I don't think he would. I don't think he would get it, even if he went on the free agent market.
I definitely don't think he'd get it on the free agent market, because if you look at the top 10 quarterbacks, I don't know if he's in there. And don't get me wrong, because you got to say Pat Mahomes is number one. You're going to say maybe your guy at Philadelphia, the Eagles quarterback, might be number two. Josh Allen, Buffalo, number three. Where do you put Jackson of Baltimore? Where is he? So I don't know. And the reason I have to give him credit, because I remember last year, and you and I have said it before, if he leads the Giants to the playoffs, you know, he's going to have a big part of New York or be able to do some things. He did that. So now what do you do? Because he's led the team to the playoffs first time in 7 or 8 years. He's brought interest back to Giants football. He's really gave people a reason to have hope. And if they can build around him and Saquon and do it logically, you know, and don't try to keep as many people as possible, they could be in contention, Charles Wave, for years to come.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with all of your points. I think there is a good number of $38, $39 million, but you know, as a player and as agents, you have unrealistic hopes when you're negotiating those contracts, and you want the most you can get. And when you see the landscape that's being presented to everyone, and you got Lamar Jackson looking for probably $50 million a year. Right. That's why he hasn't signed a contract. And I don't know, even if I was a desperate team, like let's say the Jets or the Houston Texans, who are looking for a quarterback, I don't know I would give Lamar Jackson $50 million when he hasn't won, taking his team out of the championship. And not one time.
And the thing that kind of gets to me, too, is, you know, kind of Eli and Peyton kind of set the tone for quarterbacks about being available. You know, every game they are there. The last 2 years, Lamar Jackson has not been there at the end of the season. So that's not going to help them at all to have a $50 million quarterback and him not be there. And I just think, you know, even Dak of the Cowboys missed 4 games during the season. And I think that hurt his game. So I think the Giants have a lot to talk about. But just wanted to ask you a question on a couple of different things. We call this the Expressway. I'm Billy Taylor, along with Charles Show Me the Way. And we are on every single Wednesday talking the world of sports. We do it in 4 quarters. Our first quarter, we always talk about the New York Giants and what's happening with them. And, you know, the main thing is Saquon Barkley and Danny Jones. But see, my thing on this, too, is what do you think about Matt Breida as a backup running back? Because I thought he did pretty good last year. And then Nick Gates. Those guys are free agent for the Giants. Should the Giants bring them back? I just don't know about Nick Gates because he's hurt a lot.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Nick Gates, because of that bad injury, he's coming off. I just don't know if you can bring him back. He can play for the veteran minimum. I don't think too many teams, if any, will give him more than that. They may give him a little boost, but I don't think he would get more than a vet minimum. given his serious injuries, he was coming back. And then he didn't have a great rest of the year when he was a when he did come back, right? And obviously, it as bad of an injury as he had, it probably takes another year for him to get back to normal.
Yep.
So I would, you know, I would sign him to, if I was his agent, I would probably sign with the Giants because he has some comfortability with the staff. He knows what they expect. He knows that the system and could function within the system. And if they don't sign a free agent guard or draft a guard in the draft, I mean, he is their next best option because they know him. They know what he can do. And especially if he's healthy, he can add a little extra punch to that line. But when you look at everything else in totality, in order for the Giants to kind of do damage in free agency and fill positions of need in free agency, they got to work out the Saquon Daniel Jones situation. The one thing, you look at all of the running backs, there's about 12 running backs that are free agents this year that could start for every team in the league, right? And that's what I'm concerned with as far as Saquon Barkley, because we can, you can find a kid in the draft now.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And put him in there, and he could play just as well as Saquon on a much cheaper deal. So now you're moving that money around to somebody on defense that could really solidify your defense, make it a dominating defense, and let the offense kind of go to work. And that's how, if you look at the teams that were in the Super Bowl, Philly had a defense. Kansas City won because they had a great, great superstar, probably one of the greatest of all time quarterbacks playing in the team. But Philly, San Francisco, you look at those teams and you got to think about it. I would mention, take a look at, let's see what happens in Seattle and Geno Smith, because that may be an indicator of what the Giants can do or would do for Daniel Jones. Let's see who signs first.
Yeah, but Geno's in his 9th or 10th year. And see, the thing that I am encouraged by, Charles, is that the Giants seem like they're in a better position now than they were a year ago. And the thing about it, they kind of know what they want. They kind of know what they need. Now it's a matter of going and executing through the draft, through free agency, and then signing some of the players. What did they do with Kenny Golladay? They says, you know, they still owe money, but what did they do with him, Charles Way? They said they're going to do something, but I haven't heard anything, you know, definite yet. I know that he did not pair out at all, you know, from a wide receiver. I think he caught less than 10 passes the whole year and maybe one touchdown, and that's not material that we need to be able to go forward. So what do they do with Kenny Golladay?
Well, I just in the next segment, we'll talk more about Kenny. They just let him go. Now that the league year started, March 1st, league year started, they let him go yesterday. And so, or today, they let him go. And so that page is turned. Now they got to look for another playmaking receiver. But we can get into that. And what are the Jets going to do at the quarterback position? Joe Klecko just came out and said something like that surprising. So hold on to your hat. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Way here with Billy Taylor, the BT Express. And we just got finished breaking down the New York Giants free agents, Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. And we just found out that Kenny Golladay was let go last yesterday or today, as today is the first day of the new league year. So they let him go to to reduce the cap hit that he would have caused on the salary cap. Actually, I was reading the Giants have the third most room in the entire NFL in cap space.
Well, at getting rid of Kenny Golladay had to help. Mm-hmm. Now, what was your thought process on Kenny Golladay getting released yesterday?
Oh, it was good. Go ahead. Everybody knew that he had to go. He wasn't happy while he was here. He did what he was supposed to do. He actually fit in and was a great team player, given his situation, given the lack of playing time, given all of the hype that came behind him when he signed his contract, and he just didn't fit in. So I think it was a mutual parting of ways, and I think it'll help both teams move on.
But you know, in my day when I played, they call that stealing. You know, this man get paid almost $20 million a year, catch four passes, one touchdown, and I'm trying to figure out, how did he feel he was a part of the contribution the Giants made to the playoffs?
Hey, as a player, if I was the police officer, I'm looking the other way too, because I'm hoping I could do the same thing. So go ahead. It's grand theft, and it's a legalized grand theft. But hey, I think it was good for him. He performed when he had to, because he was one of the top receivers to come out that year. He just didn't perform. He just didn't live up to the billing that we needed him to. The Giants needed him to. And now is who's next? You know, what receiver out there are you going to fill that receiver need in the draft, knowing that it takes a rookie wide receiver at least 2 years to kind of get on the same page, get acclimated to the speed of the NFL and the play of the NFL. So the thing I'm worried about is that all of our receivers were injured last year. All of our good receivers were injured last year. Yep. And everybody is saying Isaiah Hudgens is the next coming. I'm like, let's get real now. He was an undrafted free agent.
Buffalo.
That disappeared when we played against Philly. So let's not get too excited about Isaiah Hudgens. He's a great receiver, good receiver, and you need those types of receivers. But number one draft picks are number one draft picks for a reason.
Yep.
Right. They're playmakers and they can do damage and they make your team. And so I don't know if there's a Deebo Samuels walking through the door, but I hope they find one because they need one.
What about Darius Slayton? Because they talked about him being a receiver. They talked about Richie James, and Richie James probably, I think, either tied for the lead with Saquon, the number of receptions. And Slayton, every once in a while, he shows up, but I don't know if he's the number one receiver. I was looking for this kid from Boston College and this other kid from USC. And I think you need a speedster in there, someone who can stretch the defense and could, I think, a go-to guy for Danny Jones, because I don't know really who his go-to guy was this year. I like the tight end. They brought up the kid from San Diego. I thought he played pretty well. And if he can improve, you know, they say that players in the NFL show a big improvement from their first year to their second year. So if they can show improvement, the tight end position and in some of those receiver positions, they can help the Giants tremendously.
Yeah, no, I do like the kid from USC, Jordan Addison. Yep. And everybody's talking about the kid from TCU, Johnston. Both of those guys are Addison is a different type of receiver. He's quick, big playmaker. I think the kid from TCU is a bigger receiver, more along the lines of Kenny Golladay, but a little bit more speed and quickness. But both are looked at to be one and two in the draft. But I, like I said, my one concern is how many, because Wandale Robinson is his second year in the league too, right? And so how many rookies, and you can't really count on Sterling Shepard, even because he's been hurt the last 2 to 3 years he's been on the team. He hasn't played a full season yet, right? And so you have a bunch of free agents. You have Sterling Shepard, you have Wandale Robinson, and you're going to have a new rookie if they get a guy in the draft.
They are going to.
I just don't know. I think you need a veteran receiver in there somewhere. I just don't know if there's any good veteran receivers out there that I would spend money on.
Well, see, if I was a scout, and I think that I'm very talented at looking at talent, because I remember when I used to do the Giant games, I did college games, I'm looking for a receiver that gives me separation so the quarterback can have room for error. Mm-hmm. Danny Jones is not the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he's in the top 10 on accuracy, but I think that he needs a receiver that if he throws behind him, he can catch it. If he throws high, low, he can make Danny Jones look even better. And the thing about it is my problem with Kenny Golladay is that he seemed like he didn't know how to run a route. I mean, look, he just strong-armed people because he was 6'3", run out there and try to overtake with his strength. But those defensive backs, they get paid good money to guard him. And I don't think he showed me any improvement as far as getting separation. And I think the next receiver that comes in here, you got to check him out and make sure that he knows what he's doing in situations and begins to get the separation that Danny Jones needs to be able to have room for error.
You're absolutely right. And but let's just go like across town and see what about the jet situation. We talk about finding the right receiver to bring in to complement Daniel Jones. And now when you talk about the Jets, it all starts with the quarterback, because you need to, from what everyone is saying, how Zach Wilson kind of killed the locker room, the Jets locker room.
Yep.
The Jets are probably looking for a quarterback that can bring that locker room back together and be potent. They already have a good defense. They're going to solidify their defense in free agency probably. But it's all about the offense for the Jets. If they can find a good signal caller and solidify the quarterback position, I think they would have a good season and then be in contention not only to make the playoffs, but make some noise in the playoffs. But our friend Joe Klecko, the Hall of Fame, soon to be Hall of Fame Joe Klecko, suggested that Aaron Rodgers shouldn't even be considered as a candidate to come to the Jets because he would destroy the locker room.
Well, my problem on that is there's no way he would know that. And the thing about it, he played a long time, Joe Klecko, and played three different positions, made all pro at three positions, totally deserving of the Hall of Fame. I played against him once or twice my first couple years with the Giants, and he was definitely an impact player. But see, it makes me kind of queasy a little bit when a defensive player, especially on the defensive line, is going to tell me about the situation, the camaraderie in the locker room. I believe that winning, is probably the biggest thing you can have in football. If you win, people forget about everything. They let stuff go. And I think that if Rodgers comes in here and he's able to do what he does, which means take what the defense gives, keep the defense off the field, bring the Jets defense in well rested, I think it doesn't matter that what he does in his off time. And I think he's better than the quarterback for the Raiders, David Carr. And I just think that Rodgers will be a great, great fit for the Jets. The only thing I would like him to do, and I would, talk to him from a general manager standpoint, is being able to get with his receivers in the off-season workouts, in the mini camps, so that by the time they get to the season, they know each other. He did not do that in Green Bay.
Yeah, and I think the one concern that I think Joe Klecko has, and what we addressed last week, is that because the Jets are so young, right? And you saw how many issues he had with the young receivers in Green Bay. Do you think that old vet mentality may rub those young players the wrong way? And it seemed like it's a very strong group of young guys on the Jets team, and they're pretty solid. By him coming in, he could kind of damage that camaraderie that they built over there and kind of destroy it from an offensive standpoint by coming in and kind of being like, I'm your dad and you're going to listen to me. You know, young people today, they don't even like the father figures in their lives anymore, right? They don't want to be told what to do when they need to be told, but there's a certain way. And I don't think he's like, I think Aaron Rodgers would come in like that grandfather that doesn't care. He's been around about 80 years now. He knows it's the twilight of his life and I can care less what I say. Right. And that's Aaron Rodgers. It's like, look, I'm out in about a year or two. Right. I got two more years. So you don't do it my way. I'm trying to win one more Super Bowl to cement my legacy, because everybody else, think about it. Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl title.
Yep.
And he looks at Eli Manning and saying, man, I'm better than that dude. He has two, right? He's looking at Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has two,
and
right?
Been there three times. Yep.
And so when you look at all those people, I believe in, it's human nature to compare yourself to other individuals in the same position. And he's like, I got to get another one so that I can cement my legacy.
Yeah, but see, my problem is that the way he acts, like, you know, he just say he went to Oregon to go to the dark place. He stayed there a day and a half, and then he's off to Hawaii. If I was in the twilight of my career as a quarterback and making $50 million, the highest paid player in the whole league, I would gather all my receivers and fly them down to Barbados or Bermuda and just make sure we have a good time, you know, because you think about being together as a football player. You've been on teams where they had to maybe go out to California longer than a week and stay together. That brings people together. And what you want to do is have your team as tight as you can. And as much money as he has, and I'm not talking all about money, he could take everybody out to dinner and just have a big old, a good camaraderie thing where everybody expresses their opinion, lets everybody know where he's coming from. And he could do that. He didn't do that at Green Bay. And the thing that makes me mad is that the quarterback is the CEO of your company. Now, how do you get him to mend with everybody else? It's almost like Wilson of the Jets. You know, he didn't communicate with anybody and people thought he was isolated. And you're not going to get me to be, you know, your teammate if you're not reaching out to me and you're making that kind of money and you don't speak to people. I just think that's pathetic.
And yeah, you're absolutely right. And then it's about adaptation. Yep. Can Aaron Rodgers adapt to the Jets environment, the where they are, and kind of just add to the mix to make them get to over that little last step that they're trying to get to be a playoff contender and potentially win the division, right? And so I think when we come back, we'll talk about adapting.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
To the new situation that a lot of these players, a lot of these free agents, a lot of these coaches are finding themselves in. And so you're listening to The Expressway with Charles Way and the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We will be right back. Don't touch that dial.
And we're back. We call this the Expressway. And I got to give my partner, Charles Way, all the credit for that because his nickname as a fullback for the New York Giants is Show Me the Way. And he blocked for people like Tyrone Wheatley, Tiki Barber, Gary Brown, and one of the best blockers in the history of the Giants. And they call him Show Me the Way because he was showing halfbacks how to get there. And all those runners I talked about, Wheatley, Tiki Barber and Gary Brown all got over 1,000 yards and really had pretty good careers. And they called me the BT Express, so we called it the Expressway. And we're on every single Wednesday talking about the world of sports. Our main emphasis on giving you updates on the New York Giants. We just talked about the free agent situation with the Giants. Now we're going to go into a situation where we should do every week in the third quarter. We call it adapting situations. And I'm going to let you take it from there, Charles Way. Adapting to the situation.
Yeah, the word for the segment is adapt. Obviously, very apropos because of what Joe Klecko said about Aaron Rodgers. Can Aaron Rodgers adapt to the New York Jets' youth and locker room? And I don't think Joe Klecko thinks that. But the definition for adapt is make something suitable for a new use or purpose to modify or similarly to become adjusted to new conditions. And that's what the free agency market is about. Adjusting to new conditions. When you go from one team to a next, you're going to have to be able to adapt. Daniel Jones had to adapt to Brian Daboll, right? Brian Daboll had to adapt to his team and figuring out what type of talent he had and doing what's best for the talent that he had. So at being able to adapt in sports is critical and for success in any team. I think the best, the best symbol of that in professional football is, think about it, is Bill Belichick, right? Every team he's had, he's been able to adapt based on his personnel. That's how Tom Brady got his start when Drew Bledsoe got hurt. Yep. Tom Brady, young guy, wasn't expected to play, hadn't played a down, and fifth round pick in the draft, right? And adapted to doing what he could do best until he got to be really, really good. But I mean, being able to adapt in any phase of life is very important, no matter what the situation. I think most of that adaptation comes from who you are as a person. Are you able to be as flexible as you need to be to work within your situation? A lot of coaches, and I know you probably played for a lot of coaches that didn't care about the talent that he had or the types of skills. He's like, if you don't do it my way or do it this way, you don't do it at all, right? You tell me.
See, my problem is that, and I've talked about it ever since we've been on the radio, about there's so many bad coaches, and you talked about it perfectly. The coach is supposed to come in, find out what he has, adapt his play calling offensively or defensively to what he has. And so that's why I loved Brian Daboll this year, because he did that. I don't think many coaches could have done what he did to this same Giant team, which was on the altogether last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, the year before Brian Daboll came in. So I like to adapt to situations, because if you think about it, athletes and football players, probably more in particular, with a little bit more prejudice toward the football side of it, is that every game is an adaptable situation. You talked about Bill Belichick. I think when I was watching you guys play, when you were playing back in the 90s and stuff, I watched it at halftime when Dan Reeves and Jim Fossil would make adjustments. And I don't like it if a team is beating your behind, they're running you down, they're running the ball down your throat, and the second half you come out and you make an adjustment, they're still doing the same thing. If somebody's hitting you in your head, move your head, Charles Lee. So that's what I can't understand, but adapt, that's the key.
It is, and I think sports is the perfect example and a perfect platform for people to kind of understand. We talked about resiliency last week, now it being adaptable this week. It's like, if you really want to be success, look at the best teams and see how they do it. Because like you said, if something's not working and they go into halftime and they make adjustments and change it and then have success, that means they realize something wasn't working. They identify it wasn't working, changed it, and made it work. And so when you can do that, success, that breeds success. And like I said, you gotta understand, talking about adapting. Look at Leslie Frazier. He's taking a year off, right? He went from being a head coach, then being a defense coordinator for Buffalo and having one of the best defenses in the entire National Football League, right? Yep. And they won't give him a chance because I don't think owners don't believe he's learned how to adapt to the league or to his past failings. You got to give the man a shot.
But I like Leslie Frazier. I really do. I like him. I liked him when he was a head coach. I didn't think he got the right breaks that he needs, but I think he, just like anybody else, he needs a second chance. And the coaches, man, Charles Way, you know as well as I do, because you've been on part of the Giants organization, this coach is putting in a lot of time. I mean, you're talking about 15, 16 hours a day. When I was there, when Parcells was there, sometimes he was sleeping at the place. Belichick the same way. They put in the hours, and I don't see how you could be a head coach of a team or a defensive coordinator without messing with your family.
That's right. It's tough. I mean, it's tough. You don't have a life. I mean, it's probably one of the worst career choices you can make as a young person, because as a young person, you're probably starting from the ground level and you're working 18 hours a day. So you're doing all the dirty work, right? You're breaking down film the wee hours of the night. You gotta think about this. You got a Monday night football game. You don't get back, and it's on the West Coast. So you got a Monday night football game in San Francisco. You don't get back until 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. And you come right in, and hopefully you slept on a plane, but you come right in and you got to break down that tape. Then you got to break down the next opponent's tape for that week, that last weekend's game. So you don't get any sleep for the entire day. So you're working on no hours of sleep, right? And so as a young player, I mean, it's a tough grind, the amount of hours you work. And so you got to give all the credit to all the coaches that do the things that they do. I do have a story. Bronco Mendenhall, the old BYU coach that coached at Virginia, he tried to adapt his policy of not having coaches work on Sundays. Do you know coaches were up in arms, didn't know what to do? He said, no, you're not working on Sunday. I don't want you to pick up an iPad. I don't want you to look at a computer. I don't want you to look at a video. Nobody works on Sunday. You spend time with your family. Do you know he got criticized from a bunch, probably the majority of the coaches in the ACC, saying that you can't work like that. If you don't work every day, then you're not doing what you're supposed to do as a football coach in major college, Division I college football. Do you believe that?
Well, see, I don't know any coach that wins that takes time off. I mean, think about, Saban of Alabama or University of Georgia or some of the great Clemson teams or even your Virginia teams. Coaches don't take time off because you think about it. As soon as they get a chance, they're looking ahead to the next game. They're looking to the pass game. They're trying to correct mistakes. And the thing that I really kind of hate to admit, and we've talked about it before, is that you learn more by losing than winning because you go back to the drawing boards. And probably coaches really like it sometimes when you don't have success because then they can coach. And so I just think that being able to adapt, athletes do it the best of everybody. And I think team players and people who are not athletes have a hard time adapting to situations because the whole world is about adversity. How do you deal with adversity? How do you deal when something's different? How do you adapt to it? How do you make a change? How do you make it better? How do you sit there and not continue to get mad at yourself because things are not successful? And now we're in a world of what have you done for me lately? Even if a coach doesn't have success that first year in the NFL, they might be gone after that first year. It used to be not like that. They want a quarterback to be great right away. So you got to adapt. And I think some of the teams, they just don't have good coaching at their level.
Yeah, it's wild. Getting back to the time off, if you know, especially for a better quality of life for coaches, yep. Right? Outside of being a doctor or a first responder, and even first responders get days off. So they work, they may work for 72 hours straight, but they get 2 or 3 days off after that long shift, and they're not working.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
For those entire 72 hours that they're on call, right? They probably are working maybe at worst 12 out of the 72 hours on a bad day, on a bad shift. And so when you look at NFL college coaches and the work schedule they put in, that quality of life is bad. And I think it's time for them to adapt to, hey, more sleep, better prepared. Better, awareness about better, you're able to focus more. If you're not sleeping only an hour or 2 hours a night, give them a day off at least once, like maybe two times, three times out of the season. Let's see what it, I think a Bill Belichick is the only person that could probably do that because He is, you know, he is considered one of the all-time greatest coaches. And it would take someone like him to prove to people that you don't have to work every single day, 18 hours a day to win. And I would love for him to take a bold stand and do something like that.
Well, see, I've known Belichick forever and ever. He came in on my second year with the Giants, and he started out as a special team coach before he went to linebacker coach and defensive coordinator. But I come in there sometimes, and we had to be there maybe at those days, maybe 8:30 in the morning. I get there, he had been there 3 hours, and he wasn't married then. Then he got married, and he still took so much time off. And then the thing about it is both he and Parcells are divorced guys because they couldn't handle the family aspect of it. And I think from a coaching standpoint, I totally agree with you. It is one of the toughest jobs in the history of jobs. Coaching in the NFL, coaching college. Maybe the fun thing might be Pop Warner, where we might go out there and try to get the guys to rally. But after that, I think even in high school levels, let alone college, NFL, coaching is one of the toughest professions. And I never wanted to be one because there's so many bad ones, and I say, I don't want to be in that category.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. You're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Teller and Charles Show Me the Way. This is our third segment. We're talking about the word of the week, which is adapt. How easy is it for people to adapt? We related to Aaron Rodgers and how Joe Klecko said that he wouldn't be able to adapt to the youth in the Giant and the Jets locker room. And so one of the key things that we're talking about is in order for teams, coaches, players to have success, no matter what situation they find themselves in, they should be able to adapt to that situation so that they can elevate everyone that's around them. So you're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, and Charles Showed Me the Way. We are going into our fourth quarter, and we will be coming back talking about LeBron James's foot injury. Has it derailed the Lakers? And other top news stories in the world of sports today. We will be right back. You're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Teller and Charles Show Me the Way. And we just finished three quarters of an amazing show. Now we're coming back to the fourth quarter, talking about a lot of the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Kevin Durant will be making his season debut with the Phoenix Suns, as well as what about that Dame Lillard, game time, Dame time, 71 he put up. And where does he stack up amongst the greatest NBA players of all time? And then let's not forget about the Knicks. Our New York Knicks are on a win streak, what, 6-7 in a row?
Yep, 6
and
eight.
And then as we were coming into the break, talking about LeBron James and his foot injury, and they were off to a great start. You got D'Angelo Russell coming in for them, and Anthony Davis is now found his game and playing at all-star level, and they were winning. And does this injury hurt their chances to get into the playoffs? But first, let's talk about game time, Dame time, and that 71. and where does he stack of all of the greats, you know, who have scored 50 or better on that list? You got James Harden. You got Russell Westbrook. Stephen Curry, Kobe Bryant. Yep. And Will Chamberlain and Michael Jordan. Yep. So out of that list,
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Where does he stack?
I think it's a tough one because I think Curry of Golden State is the best shooter I've ever seen in my life. I think he can, you know, any game he could take over. And just as soon as he gets across the three-point line. I think Dame is number two. I just think that, you know, if it wasn't for – because he won the three-point contest on the All-Star weekend and he looked good doing it. I'd like to see him and Curry go after that. And Klay Thompson also, he's another great scorer. But I think the Dame is probably one of the more exciting players in the NBA. He's fun to watch, and he's a good team guy. He could have gone to other teams and played there, but he stayed in the part of Portland, Oregon, where we don't get their games until 1 o'clock in the morning, so a lot of people don't get to see him. But I think the performance he put on the other night was all-star worthy. You know, his shooting percentage had to be like in the 70s. You know, he's a great foul shooter and he's a great teammate. And I just think what he's doing for the NBA is just bringing him to a high level of performance.
But look who he did it against, right? It was against the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, but I don't care if you're with the school of the little rhinoceros. You scored 70 points. You were more from outside shooting than anything.
Right.
You know, I don't care who you're playing because, you know, everybody plays defense. It's almost like when people say the worst NFL team cannot beat the college team. That is so untrue because you know how many top draft choices Houston has? You know how many top players they have? They're in a lot of games. I mean, they beat some decent teams. They haven't played as well because they don't have the talent, but they're worthy of it. And I think you know, people are saying that he scored 70 once against a bad team, but every one of those guys are, and I think they had something like five number one draft choices on Houston. Mm-hmm. So those guys are worthy of it. And I just think you got to give credit when it's due, you know?
Yeah. But as far as, you know, he's not a Kobe Bryant.
No.
Right? He's not Wilt.
Nobody's right? Wilt.
Right. And he definitely isn't in the same category as Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Right. And so you got Kobe, Michael, Wilt, and everybody else. And so when you look – Steph Curry. I don't know if Steph Curry is still in that stratosphere either with Wilt, Kobe, and Michael Jordan.
Well, we'll see because they won the championship last year. He got MVP.
Right.
He's been hurt a little bit this year. When he comes back, do they repeat? If they repeat, you have to give him his credit.
Okay.
If they repeat as NBA champions again, because they're like number five or six right now, because Denver is number one in the West.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee's number one in the East.
Yeah. I just don't, I can't see him. I don't see Steph just because he has a very finesse game.
Yes.
Steph Curry, right? And all three, Kobe, Michael, and Wilt, were not finesse players.
Yep.
Right? And even Dame Lillard, I'm not ecstatic about Dame Lillard's game because he doesn't do that on a consistent. Now he has a team that he has nobody that's an NBA player on that team, right?
Or no all stars.
Nobody, right? And so he got to take every shot, right? At least Kobe had Shaq on the team when he got his 70 plus points.
Yeah.
Right. So he had another player to go to. Dame, I can shoot. If he could do that every week, and he hasn't done it every week. He should be doing it every week. He should be going. He should be averaging 40. If he was a true, like, Dame time, game time, like he wants to be called, that man should be doing it every game because he doesn't have anybody. He should be at least trying to get 30. He should be averaging over 30 points a game, and he's not.
Well, what I like is that he's a team player. And he can hog the ball. One thing I did not like, okay, and you saw it because Kobe Bryant came somewhere and was probably drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yep.
And then he goes to L.A. I just think he's a ball hog. I never watched him pass the ball to anybody. I see him coming down on the break. Kobe Bryant, 3-on-1. Somebody's open for the layup, but he takes it away. The thing I like a lot about LeBron, I don't care who you are, he's going to give you the ball if you're open. Right. And that's why I think, you know, it's always going to be controversial, but I think that's why I like LeBron better, because if we were playing on his basketball team and we were open, he passes the ball. And I think that's a big difference in the two players being the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, is quiet as it's kept, has got to be in that conversation also.
Yeah, you're right. The one, I mean, and the NBA is kind of honoring him is Bill Russell.
Yep.
He was like legit. He reminds me of a poor man's Al Horford.
Because, I like that.
You know, because Al Horford is effective, but he shouldn't be on the court. It seems like he shouldn't even be on that basketball court because he can't do any. It doesn't seem like he has the skills to do anything. He's not going to score 50 points. But if the Celtics don't have Al Horford on that team, I don't think they're the same team. That has the best record in the entire NBA because he is like the glue that holds that whole team together.
Well, in the East, Milwaukee, I think they're going to really, and Boston are going to come down for the championship of the East, I think.
Hold on. What about my team, Philly?
No, I hate to say that. And I know you like to feel it. I watch him every year.
Joel Embiid, the beast.
He is MVP, but he got nobody around him that's going to come through in the clutch for him.
James Harden.
The other day, James had the winning shot. I go back to Houston when he's had probably 4 or 5 times he's been in the playoffs and act like he didn't even show up. He turned the ball over a record number of times. I just can't give James Harden that kind of ID. And I like your team, Philly. I do always have. Ever since Julius Erving was there, Dr. J, I've been a Sixer fan. Used to go down there and watch some games. But Joel Embiid, he kind of turned me off because he's a big baby. You got to admit that he falls down more than any center I've ever seen. These last couple of years, though, he's playing at a better level. But does he bring people around him and make them come to a higher level of performance? And I don't know that. And you're talking about James Harden. Like I said, my sister's from Houston. She got season tickets to the Rockets. She tells me how many times he missed in the clutch. You've seen a couple of them, CW. Come on, man.
Yeah. So that's my next question is because, you know, as good and as great as James Harden is or was with Houston, scoring what, 60, 70 points a game, being like lights out, like he's doing everything for the Houston Rockets and was the man. And rightfully so, first ballot Hall of Famer once it's that time. When I look at him, obviously I'm a Sixers fan. So I watch the games. The man, as good and great as he is, right? His legacy, them last 2 minutes in crunch time and in the playoffs when you need, you know, the James Harden, the 50-point James Harden, he kind of goes, he just disappears. It's like, and then he passes up shots. I mean, they're giving him the ball. I was just happy he took the shot because I thought he was going to pass it with a second left to somebody else. So he, you know what? He impressed me. I don't care. He missed it. But that man, I didn't think he was going to take that shot when Joel Embiid passed him the ball because he's giving up shots like that because I think he's scared that he's trying to protect his legacy instead of not caring like a Kobe Bryant or somebody like that. And like, look, give me the rock and I'm going to shoot. He's like, no, don't give me the rock. Last 2 minutes, they already think I can't play in the last 2 minutes anyway. So I'm going to throw it to somebody else. And so that's what scares me. But he did take the shot. I know he missed it. But guess what? He took a crunch time shot. And I don't know when the last time he took a crunch time shot was. And it could have been probably the last time he did it was Houston.
Well, see, I think that now that you have thought about it for a second, you realize he has no clutch in it whatsoever. I mean, he might be a negative to any team in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. I mean, I watched him from Oklahoma State. I watched him to play with the Rockets, watched him play with the Nets. And I can give him credit for playing with the Nets because he played hurt on a hamstring. But Clutch people are hard to come by. And that's why, you know, I give a lot of people credit. But so far, James Harden hasn't really probably gathered a lot of fans. The reason he's traded teams so much, you know, you don't want someone that great to be on four different teams. But we'll see, because, you know, you're a Sixer fan, and I used to be a Sixer fan. But since James Harden went there, I don't know. But we're going to see. But I do think that Milwaukee and Boston and Philadelphia, are gonna, those three teams are going to be in it. So we're going to have a lot to talk about in weeks to come.
Let's go to the Western Conference. Do you think Denver is the beast of the West, or do you think now that Phoenix and has Kevin Garnett, Booker, and DeAndre Ayton, that's a core three right there, right? And yeah, you got Chris Paul.
Yep.
And Phoenix. So you got a good squad. Do you think now they'll challenge the Denver Nuggets in the West?
Definitely, I think so, because Denver, you know, they got the most valuable player on their team, and from the last two seasons, and he's a great passer. He's a great shooter, but I think that Phoenix with the new player, the guy Kevin Durant and Booker and CP3, they're going to be in it to win it. And I just think that it all depends. We talked about LeBron getting hurt before. If LeBron doesn't come back, they don't have a chance at all. They really don't have a chance for the Western Championship, let alone get past maybe they might have the play-in game in the NBA, which means you have to play X amount of games to get to the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to do that. LeBron, they said they're going to have an MRI today sometime, and if he's out, they said a couple weeks. If he's out a couple weeks with a bad foot, I don't think the Lakers are going to be even a thought process.
Yeah, I think the greatest pickup for them was the D'Angelo Russell pickup. Obviously, more talented at this point in his career than Westbrook was. And Russ just isn't the same player as he was with Oklahoma. Or he, just like Kobe, he didn't care. He took every shot in Oklahoma, right? He should have probably stayed in Oklahoma because he was doing everything. Like, if somebody was going to try to score 100, Russ was going to try to score. When you talk about selfish, I think Russell Westbrook's game is selfish, as a selfish game. But he's a triple-double leader. He passes the ball, but he's all about scoring points and taking bad shots, right?
Well, see, my point with him is that he doesn't come through in the clutch. Yeah. I've seen him so many different times, you know, doing a great game, having 30 points, and then when they need a shot, he doesn't make it. Mm-hmm. And it's been that way his whole career. And I was wondering why he's not a championship player. He played at Oklahoma State, played at Houston. Now he's with the Clippers. He was with the Lakers. And just not championship material. And that's the thing that kind of bothers me. You're talking to Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We call it the Expressway. We're on every single Wednesday in the world of sports. We always talk about the Giants in the first quarter. Second quarter, we talk about free agency or whatever else is happening with the Jets. Third quarter, we always come up with a new word. Our word today was to adapt. How do athletes do that? In the fourth quarter, we're talking about filibustering in the world of sports with LeBron James and game time and all that kind of stuff. And Charles, next week, you're going to give us another word for our third quarter. I got to thank Ben back in the studio for always doing a heck of a job. And for Charles, Show Me the Way. I am Billy Taylor, the BT Express. Have a great week, everybody. And stay warm, because it's getting cold in the East.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.